as our council pointed out, the first of three items are the, on the agenda are related to the Castaways Bethany LLC changes of zone and conditional use applications. Because we heard them as a combined hearing, I'm going to open it to the commission for some discussion on the the applications as a whole. We will be voting on them individually as the rules require. But at this time, if anyone on the commission would like to make a statement, ask a question, offer a comment, we'll be happy to take it.
Mr. Chairman, one thing that I would like to do is I would like to thank you for running a good meeting, keeping our protocol and all throughout this public hearing, which these items on this agenda, which I think have been going on now for about 3 months. I'd like to congratulate you as well as the other and our legal counsel, the other members of the commission for the time that I'm sure that they put into it. I'm glad that we had the benefit of having a full commission tonight because each one of us brings our own ideas and expertise to our regions. With that said, these are complex issues. There's been a lot of interest by the public, and in accordance with the rules of the commission Mr. Robertson just mentioned, I welcome an open discussion on these matters. Thank you, sir. Thank you, Mr. Robertson.
You're welcome.
Ross. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. First, I want to apologize to the commission for having missed the meeting on November 1st. It was just one of those things that happened. Just for the for your information, I wasn't going to be ready to vote for it on the 1st anyway. It was this is a very complex application, and I think when I read my statement, everyone will understand the amount of time and energy it takes to noodle through an application such as this. It is important to note that these three separate applications, while separate actions, are part of a single request for conditional use of a property. The fact that these applications were combined into a single public hearing without objection from anyone is evidence of this. Representatives for the applicant stated the change of zone request, CZ-1719 and CZ-1720, were specific to the application for conditional use 1944. In fact, Mr. Fuqua, attorney representing the applicant, stated the requested change of zone was specifically to accommodate the conditional use request. Ms. Mary Schreider Fox, attorney representing an HOA coalition, argued at some length against the proposed use, CU 1944, but made no similar dissenting arguments against either change of zone request. Likewise, citizen arguments against CZ 1719, CZ 1720, and CU 1944 did not provide supporting evidence against the change of zoning request, but provided considerable comment opposed to CU 1944. In my opinion, the record reflects both those opposed and the applicants anticipate the ultimate acceptance or denial of CU 1944 will determine the acceptance or denial of both CZ 1719 and CZ 1720. So while we must act on each individual request, it is my opinion that to consider each request independently without consideration of the single request for conditional use is inappropriate. It is further my opinion that any one of these three requests by the applicant would put in jeopardy the public health, safety, and welfare, then all three requests should be denied. The applicant would still have recourse to continue with the current plan to develop the property or submit a new application which would not put the public health, safety, and welfare in jeopardy. In reviewing the public's objection to the Castaways application, which, as stated previously, was opposed to CU 1944, the following claims were made. One, the proposed use would have a negative effect on property values. Two, the proposed use was not in character with surrounding use and therefore incompatible. Three, the traffic created by the proposed project would create a public safety hazard. Four, noise from the proposed project, specifically the water park, would negatively impact quality of life of nearby residents. Five, the transient nature of the RV campground would increase crime and attract undesirable individuals to the neighborhood. I would like to evaluate each of these, starting with the first two, as it seems logical to combine the first two objections, since any use that would negatively impact property values would be out of character with surrounding use. As stated by the applicant, there are two RV campgrounds, one storage area, and one RV sales business within proximity of the proposed use. The applicant also argued there are a significant number of mobile homes, both single and double wide, in the immediate area, as well as upscale housing developments, one of which is adjacent to the proposed site. Statements from the public confirm these facts. Most relevant to the decision are the two campgrounds. Both were in existence prior to most of the residential development in the immediate area. Their existence did not hinder the creation of nearby upscale residential developments, nor deter homeowners there today from purchasing or building homes. This would indicate that the RV campground requested by the applicant would not affect property values any more than the existing campgrounds, nor would it be out of character with area land use already established. The proposed water park is the second component of the requested conditional use. The applicant argued the site in this designated is in a designated growth area, has access to sewer and water, is in an area targeted for tourism activities, and that the Sussex County ordinance governing the current zoning for a portion of the water park, C1, permits the requested use if approved via a conditional use application. The applicant also made the argument that there are tourist-related recreational activities in the area, camping, boating, and beach-related being the most obvious, but there are not uses comparable to the proposed water park in the immediate vicinity. So the question before the commission is, does the record reflect that this new proposed land use is appropriate for this site or not? There are two key components related to the proposed water park that I think are critical to reaching a purely land use position on the request. One, the underlying zoning and applicable governing ordinance. Two, does the proposed use align itself with the overall guidance of the county comprehensive plan with consideration given to the governing ordinance? The applicant provided documentation that the underlying zoning of the area proposed for use as a water park is C1, absent the area within CZ 1720. Within this zoning category, amusement parks are permitted under conditional uses. Those opposed to the proposed use did not provide evidence of ordinance to the contrary. Does the proposed use align itself with the overall guidance of the county comprehensive plan with consideration given to governing ordinance? Both the applicant and those opposed provided opinions regarding comprehensive plan compliance. The applicant supported their position by showing the proposed water park is in a designated growth area, serviced by sewer and water, and a land use area targeted for tourism under the Sussex County Comprehensive Plan, with the underlying zoning which provides for permitting the use via a conditional use. The applicant submitted a preliminary site plan depicting the areas for use, which include an RV campground, multifamily units, and a water park. Opposition to the proposed use cited the introduction and future land use sections of the comprehensive plan to buttress their argument. In addition, Mrs. Mary Schroeder Fox cited section 115-172H6 of the county code as evidence of the proposed water park was not allowable use in a campground. While I understand the opposition's reliance on section 115-172H6 of the county code, which ordinarily only allows small retail businesses and campgrounds, that would only apply if the applicants had just applied for a campground. In this case, the application is for conditional use integrating an overall project that includes not only a campground, but also multifamily units and the water park. Since each one of these uses is specifically requested as part of the conditional use, it is not appropriate to say that the water park component is automatically prohibited in the campground. Since the water park is being sought as part of the conditional use, the county has the ability to consider whether or not it is appropriate for this project on this site. Again, H6 only provides that without further approval, such as the conditional use sought in this case, anything beyond, quote, small retail businesses, end of quote, are not permitted in a campground. So section 115-172H6 of county code does not really shed any light on whether or not the water park component should be approved or denied as part of this application. In my opinion, the argument regarding property values and compatibility has been won by the applicant. The public also has considerable concerns about traffic and safety. Actually, the word considerable may be an understatement. Those opposed to the proposed use cited increased traffic, pedestrian safety, emergency vehicle movement, and cycling safety as reasons for a recommendation for denial. The applicant provided a letter from the State Department of Transportation dated May 21, 2012, which in part states, quote, therefore, we would not object to the county considering this proposal if the developer were to provide a letter confirming the projected trip generation, and affirming their decision to pay the fee if the county approves their application and their project moves forward, end of quote. It is critical for all to understand the entrance and road safety related issues are the responsibility of the State of Delaware Department of Transportation. It is generally not known that Sussex County does not own any public roads. In fact, DelDOT was the primary author of the mobility element within the current Sussex County Comprehensive Plan. The Delaware Department of Transportation manages millions of trips per year on roadways throughout the state of Delaware. With acceptance of the project by this agency, I believe a recommendation for denial for this reason would not stand a challenge of a legal appeal. The fourth major concern, noise from the proposed project, specifically the water part, would negatively impact the quality of life of nearby residents. Ms. Mary Schreider Fox cited Title VII, Chapter 71, Section 701A from the Delaware Code. I believe this is a very legitimate concern and should be addressed. Specifically, I think the reference to this Delaware section of Delaware Code should be made a part of the conditions of use. Additionally, I think the amusements within the water park should be restricted to the amusements presented by the applicant during the public hearing, and that no new amusements or expansion of amusements should be allowed without a public hearing before the Planning and Zoning Commission. Finally, there were a number of concerns about the transient nature of occupants within the RV campground as it pertains to crime and character of individuals. I don't think there is any basis for this assertion. I believe the conditional use application 1944 should be approved for the following reasons. One, the site is located in the environmentally sensitive developing area, a designated growth area. Two, the site is served by central sewer and water. Three, the conditional use is appropriate given the location's proximity to Sussex County's tourism center, where tourism is the targeted economic driver. Four, the conditional use promotes tourist-related economic development and is consistent with the character of zoning and development in the area. Five, DelDOT has indicated there will be no negative traffic impact by the proposed development. Since the conditional use applied for this is similar to the traffic impact of a currently approved use of the site. Six, approval with appropriate conditions will minimize any potential negative impact. And seven, the applicant has established a record which supports approval of the application. In closing, and being consistent with the record established during the public hearing and having reached this conclusion regarding the conditional use request, it is also my opinion that both the change of zoning request should be approved. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
All right, sir. Yes, sir. Mr. Burton.
I thought that was a very good letter, Mr. Ross. And I've spent a lot of time looking at this as the whole that it was presented. And but I think our job at this level with this body is to look at them each individually as a land use decision. And when I made my mind up to do it that way, it became a lot easier to say just what is appropriate and what isn't. And I agree with some of your points in your letter, but I just have a hard time looking at it as one thing, because it's really not. It's three applications that we are to vote on, and I will be voting on them individually as they stand before us.
As we all will.
Mr. Chairman, yes, if sir. I might, thank you, Mr. Burton, and thank you, Mr. Ross. And similar sentiments, I think that shows Mr. Ross has spent a lot of time in the letter, and I do agree with some of the points that you brought out, and that in dealing with the issues of DelDOT and noise and things like that, that unfortunately this commission does not have control over those issues. But I do think, and they were concerns of the public, of which there were a lot of members of the public. It doesn't matter whether there's one member that says something or 50 that says something. If it's prima facie evidence, it's something that has true validity to the case. One person saying it is enough, or 50 people saying it, if it's not correct and not valid, does not make it so. But I insofar as the public's participation in this, I do honor, and I did pay a good deal of thought to their the fears and the objections that they had over a decrease in property values. I do believe that we heard from a CCIM and that several of the people that spoke in opposition are currently now or were in real estate, and I feel as though I can honor their fears about their loss of property values just as much as I could or try to honor something that the applicant made in his presentation, such as a statement of saying, I will try to be a good neighbor, that can't be validated. I'm glad that we're having this discussion about everything as a whole, but I do believe it was clear from the outset that it was the decision of the applicant to meld this into one presentation. Mr. Lank read the application separately. Mr. Robertson, I think at one point you mentioned that we would be voting and viewing the application separately. And that has, is quite frankly, when the applications are read into the record, will be how I will vote on them, and I'll voice the reasons that I am opposed to this. I feel as if we don't look at this on a separate basis, if we look at this on the whole on the project, that we find that we're somewhat less of planners and almost are more of being involved in the project ourselves, because I have a real problem with the very first application, which is change of zone 1719. And I think that what we had was a public hearing or a series of public hearings, not a charrette or not an inquiry of design on how to bring all the stakeholders into this to mitigate the fears of those people. We had a public hearing, and we have to base our decisions, which you certainly have, sir, as well as Mr. Burton, and perhaps we'll hear from the chairman and Mr. Johnson. But we had a public hearing. We left it open for the plus comments, and now it's closed, and I'm ready to make a motion and vote after discussion. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Okay. Thank you, Mr. Ross and Mr. Burton.
Mr. Chairman, if I might, I have some thoughts, perhaps not as eloquent as my colleagues or as well researched, but there's some points I agree with Mr. Ross, and some that I agree with Mr. Burton, some I agree with Mr. Smith, and I have some of my own, having been an RV owner for 20 plus years and having the personal experience of towing not only travel trailers but driving a 37 and a half foot motorhome. And I can only imagine if I was towing an 18-foot vehicle behind that, what it would be like on Route 26, trying to get there on a Saturday morning, or leaving there and trying to exit by the Fred Hudson Road.
Well, you'd only be going about 2 miles an hour. So
it'd be like being in the parade out here, stop and go, waiting for the bands to get done playing so I could move. But I have some. I take exceptions to some of the points made by Mr. Ross, one of those being the two RV campgrounds that currently exist. If we were to call them RV campgrounds, I view them more as an inexpensive alternative to a mobile home park. I personally have in the past owned a unit in Leisure Point off of Long Neck, which was a park model. It was parked. It was never going to go anywhere until a storm came along and moved it. Like happened to some of them at the local RV park. I happened to tour that a couple weeks ago, and there was some pretty major damage. A lot of those were knocked off their foundations, etc. But those units that are there are basically there to stay. I don't think we can compare them to what's being proposed today in any shape or fashion, because here we're talking about, as provided by the applicant, that they'd really like to rent by the day. They had no intention of renting to rent by the season. I'm sure there'd be some weekly rentals, but it's not a place where someone's going to be buying an RV unit and parking it there and leaving it there for years to come, let alone adding on additions and decks and various sundried items that probably have been cited by our zoning inspectors as being inappropriate. But that being said, I think it's not appropriate to compare it from my estimation as an RV owner of 20 plus years to compare the two. Secondly, I think that we need to be looking forward, not looking behind. And with the existing RV campgrounds, yes, they were prior, they were there probably before our zoning ordinance, were they not, Mr. Lank?
I believe so.
So, you know, they were pre-existing projects that had been there, and they were kind of minor and out of the way. You know, I didn't really notice them until, you know, I had to go searching for them. Whereas this one is you know, face front. Unlike Mr. Burton, I have to disagree that I don't see them as individual. While they're individual applications, they're there as one. I mean, this developer doesn't want just one of the three. They want it all. And in order to get it all, they had to go through this laborious process of having three different applications, and fortunately, we didn't have to suffer through hearing the same thing three times under three separate, hearings. But I think when I look at the impact on this area of the combination of what's being proposed, I have to agree with Mr. Smith. It's too much. So while I'm not as eloquent, Mr. Ross, I didn't want to confuse anybody with numbers, but
I think you spoke from the heart. I mean, everyone appreciates that. If nothing else, the only thing I have to add is that I appreciate everyone's sincerity, the amount of time they've spent on this. We will vote on them individually. They don't exist in a vacuum, but the way we're structured is they're individual applications. That's how we will vote on them. That's how the applicant was required to submit them. So it wasn't a case where wasn't a factor of greed. It was just a factor of the way the way the ordinance is structured and the way the procedure is set up. So. Gentlemen, I believe we're ready to vote. We're going to proceed.
Mr. Chairman, one additional comment,
sure,
as well. You know, Mr. Johnson, regarding the campground, the marina is, the majority of that is probably fixed. I agree with that. But there's a number of those campsites that are transient in nature.
Ladies and gentlemen, the gentleman's entitled to his opinion. You're entitled to yours. We had a public hearing where you expressed yours. Now it's his turn.
I visited the site prior to the first public hearing. In fact, I've been to that site about four or five times now, the last just a week or so ago. And there's a lot of open lots there. And those lots weren't open when I visited the site during the season before the first public hearing. So those RVs left. Now, if they went in storage and they're going to be parked back for another season, or if they're some monthly or weekly, I don't know. But there's a lot of open spots in the marina RV park. So I just don't want the perception that they're like Leisure Point, because that park is just not like that. You go to Bound to Leisure Point today, and those lots are still full with full-time rentals. And I agree with that. But the marina's just not that way, not today. And you're welcome to visit before or after the fact, and you'll see how many open spots there are. It said do not enter, but being a bold farm boy, I enter.
If I might just, if I may.
Absolutely, gentlemen. I don't have to be anywhere until 8 o'clock tomorrow morning. So.
On what I was saying about what I see is one of the linchpins in this is the change of zone to the AR1 is, and why I think it's important that we make our decisions on land use, is there is absolutely no AR1 land within a reasonable distance of this site. And if for some reason, whatever reason, this area. This project is not funded, is not completed. We were told it would be done in stages. Are we going to end up with this 5-acre isolated AR1 zone land that makes absolutely no sense? The rest of the land around there is zoned GRC or MR. The applicant, by their own admission, had said that this land is not tilled. This land in its current configuration is consistent with the development that has occurred in Cedar Neck in the last few years, which under the MR, it is currently approved for, what is it, Mr. Lank, somewhere around 180 individual home sites?
I don't know the exact number, but they have a conditional use approval for a multifamily use at that site.
Right. Which is what the historical movement and land use decisions and the comp plan supports in this area, not a downzoning to AR1. So thank you, gentlemen.
Mr. Chairman, if I can also add, I left out one point in that when I was speaking of looking forward and not behind, you know, that when you look at what the development has been in this area, it has all been towards building of either individual homes or multi-family homes that were designed to be there year-round, not the transient nature. They are being designed and have been built as homes of considerable more value than those of mobile homes or even some RVs. But that being said, I think that the trend of that area is in the area of, you know, the individual residences and multifamily homes. I've not seen or heard of any application for either a mobile home park or an RV park in this area before. So in my 6.5 years on the commission, there's not been any effort or application to build anything of that nature in this area. It's all been more towards upscale homes.
Anyone else?
Mr. Chairman, just before you go forward on the agenda, what I'd like to do is each one of these sort of charts the course towards the next one. So if there's a vote, well, there will be a vote, but after each vote, if we could sort of step back and determine, okay, what's this mean going forward? I think that would probably help the commission understand what needs to come next. Just for the benefit of the commission and the benefit of the folks in the audience, you know, because you know, if you depending on what you have on the agenda, the first one on the agenda is change of zone 1719, and that is the one that seeks to change a zone from MR medium density residential to AR. One, agricultural residential. Number two on the agenda is CZ 1720, which is the one that seeks to change about an acre of MR land to CR1 land. And then, of course, CU 1944, the last one, is the conditional use for the use of the entire parcel. So it would be helpful, I think, after each one of those, we kind of determine what the next step would be based on the recommendation that's already occurred.
Okay. Very well.
Is your order right on that? So 1719 is the MR to AR?
Yes, that's right. That's MR to AR.
Okay. I got them backward. Okay.
Very good?
Yep.
Okay.